This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. Hi, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to welcome you to another edition of our program today. I'm so glad that you've joined us, and I want to invite you to stay tuned because, as usual, we have some great content for you today. We've got music and a message by Pastor Wendley Phipps. By the way, the More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the spoken word ministry and the music ministry of Pastor Wendley Phipps. And today we're going to hear the title, A Song at Midnight. It's an interesting title, and it's going to be very encouraging. I'm going to give it away right here at the beginning of the program. So stay tuned and be encouraged today with our title, A Song at Midnight. Just before we get to the message, here is music by Wendley Phipps, a song entitled Always. That's beautiful music by Wendley Phipps. The song is entitled Always, and just for your information, that is from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream, released by Wendley Phipps. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We're going to get to the message that Pastor Phipps is going to present for us today in this program. This is program number 272 in our series, and at the end of the program, I'll give you some information that will allow you to obtain an audio copy of today's message if you so desire. So stay tuned for that. Now here's the message. The message for today, A Song at Midnight by Wintley Phipps.
From the time of their conversion, Paul and Silas, it seems, lived at the center of controversy. Wherever they carried their ministry, they created a disturbance. They were misunderstood, their motives impugned. They were held in contempt by the status quo. When they preached with so much power that they shook the complacency of those around them. When they preached, men and women were persuaded to turn from vice to virtue. Now, church, there are few things that anger people as quickly as taking away their money or their source of support. People get upset when you mess with their money. Well, the Apostle Paul and his co-worker, Silas, were on their second missionary journey. And Paul had a vision in the night, and he heard a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over to help us." Paul went over to Macedonia, and after several days there, he came to the city of Philippi. He met the noble lady Lydia. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, the Bible says. She listened and obeyed the word of God, and she was baptized and her whole household. Now it was here that they encountered the anger of certain men whose source of income was curtailed as a result of the ministry of Paul and Silas. As Paul and Silas were on their way to meet fellow believers for prayer, on the street, a young woman who was possessed with the spirit of devils, divination, the power of soothsaying, she was filled with an evil spirit. Her masters were capitalizing on this power, and it was bringing them enormous income. You see, devils have power. They have power to tell you what is about to happen because they can see a car coming to you that is red. So they tell you a car is coming to you and it's red. Are you with me today? It's kind of like psychic networks. Devils allow many of them to see things about you when you call on the telephone. Huh? I hope you don't call. They allow devils tell you things. And then the psychic folks ring it up on your American Express or your Visa. Well, it was in the same way. Paul and Silas encountered this woman who had a demon, an evil spirit, and these men were making their living from using her. Well, a strange thing happened. This young woman saw Paul and Silas, and she began following both of them, and the evil spirit in her used her to cry out, "These men are servants of the Most High God." You see, that was to give her and their evil ministry credibility. This happened not only once, but on several days, and Paul decided he had had enough of this. And he turned to the evil spirit and said, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And we are told in that same hour, in that same moment, the evil spirit came out of that woman. Now, can you imagine a more dramatic incident than this? We as human beings love to do brave things. We are accustomed to witnessing brave, dramatic adventures on television, and we see stuntmen and daredevils. But one thing instinctively we shy away from doing, and that is playing with demons. Huh? I'll never forget, as a young man, much younger in my early teenage years, some friends of mine invited me to come up on the roof of a building. We were going to get together. I really didn't know what I was going for, but we got up on the roof of the building, and before I realized it, it was a seance. We all grabbed hands. Be careful where your friends lead you. And we grabbed hands, and the one who was leading out said, "We're going to call up the spirit of Louis Armstrong." Louis Armstrong had just died, and I should have known by looking around at the group, I was the only one of color there, that I was a likely target. And as we held hands and this person started chanting something, before I realized what had happened, a power began to take control of my body. And I felt my lips being parted open, and I wasn't doing it. And the next thing I knew, a voice like Louis Armstrong was about to come out of my mouth. When I realized what was going on, I started praying, "Lord, get me out of this. And I promise you, I'll never do anything like this again." And the more I prayed, the more the power began to lessen and lessen. And finally, the person was still chanting, then stopped chanting and said, "I don't know what happened. The spirit was here of Louis Armstrong." I should have told her, "I know what happened. It's called prayer." Paul and Silas were fearless when dealing with demons. And on this occasion, they battled face to face with Satan. If someone would take you from your food, you'd be hungry. If they took you from your home, you'd be uncomfortable. If they took you from your clothes, you'd be embarrassed. If they would take you from your money, however, many people just get infuriated when you touch their money. Well, they captured these two men of God, charged them with sedition, brought them before the officials, and charged them with disturbing the peace. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, that means they flogged Paul and Silas. Now, if you are a servant of God preaching the gospel, why would God let you get flogged? Why would God let you be out in the middle, be embarrassed, getting whipped with stripes? The leaders tore off their clothes, commanded that they be beaten with rods. Now, to be beaten this way was a terrible experience. Your back was left bruised and bleeding, unwashed, open to infection. That kind of beating was physically brutal. But instead of being bitter about the treatment at the hands of his enemies, Paul referred instead, saw those stripes and referred to them as badges of glory, because he was doing God's will when they turned on him. The Bible says they cast them into the inner prison. Now, this inner prison, it sounds nice, inner prison. It was really a dungeon, a place where air and light were almost impossible to come by. And as the crowning act of their barbarity, they placed the feet of Paul and Silas in stocks. And the servant of the Lord says, listen to what she says, that the apostle suffered extreme torture because of the painful position in which they were left. Have mercy. Well, you got to understand, Satan overlooks no opportunity to bring reproach and harm to those who battle against him. Well, in spite of the rough abuse to which these ministers of Christ were subjected, Neither the Philippian jailer nor the other prisoners in that jail that night were prepared for what they were going to hear next. Their ears, instead of people cursing and upset and mad, you would be upset if somebody treated you that way. In the darkness of the night and from the innermost dungeon of that prison, there came a sound of prayer, and it emerged into singing. What strange and beautiful song they sang. But I want your attention tonight that the song came at midnight. As the Philippian jailer and the other prisoners in that jail heard prayers and songs of praise to God coming forth from the dungeon, Paul and Silas at midnight in the jail sang their song. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know today when we as a people sing, we sing praises to God. It reminds us that God is powerful when we sing. We need to just sing our fear away. We need not be afraid of anybody's money or their might or their religion or their influence or their power or position or their riches. We don't have to be afraid of their nation, of their individuals, of their missiles, of their arms. We don't even have to be afraid of loneliness. Thank God, at the midnight hour, we still have a song. When you lose your job, you're not losing your God, you know. When you lose your health, you're not losing your God, you know. God is still your refuge and strength. He is still a very present help in trouble. Though the earth be removed and the mountains carried into the sea, it is by praise and singing that we honor God, even in our trials. That's why David said, shine forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. Down there in the prison, God sent angels to visit Paul and Silas. When you sing, God sends angels to sing with you. Did you know that? Angels join with you in your praise to God. You can't see them. You don't sound that good. Angels join with you in your praise to God. The Bible says simply that around midnight, Paul and Silas could be heard praying and singing. Around midnight, the other prisoners could hear the song. I believe, brothers and sisters, that every life has its own midnight. Keep living. Some time of loneliness. Every life has its own dark hour. And that midnight will seem like your darkest time. I want you to know that your darkest hour always signals the approach of a new day. If you got a song, if ever there was a time that you need to have a song in your heart, it is at midnight. Wonderful things happen when you trust God at midnight. It was midnight when the soldiers received the signal from Gideon to advance. Are you with me today? They held up their lamps, blew their trumpets, and God gave Gideon victory at midnight. Wonderful things happen at midnight. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the mob that took Jesus took him at midnight. And when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, the sun and the stars refused to shine. Calvary, in the middle of the day, became to Christ like midnight. Oh, but thank God he gained the victory at midnight. In case you don't realize it, we're living in a midnight now. I'm telling you, when Christ comes again to deliver the world, he's delivering us from midnight. I want you to know that as long as you have a song, however, no cell can keep you down. No difficulty can hold you. Lord, with sighing and crying, bow down as dying, just say, Lord, I praise you. Some years ago, Dr. Raymond Patty, the president of the University of Alabama, told a story of a time right after the Civil War when a large plantation owner came upon a former slave by the name of Sam, and old Sam was shivering with cold. Sam was dressed in rags, and he appeared to be on the verge of starvation. The former slave owner said, Sam, it looks like this freedom business that you talk about hasn't worked too good for you. Come on, Sam, don't you remember the old days when you had enough to eat and a good place to sleep and clothes to wear? Oh, Sam, yes, sir, I sure do remember. The old slave owner said, now, Sam, tell the truth. If you could change things back to the way they were before you were set free, wouldn't you do it? Sure, you worked hard, but you ate well. You had security as a slave in the master's house. Old Sam scratched his head, looked up and said, what you say, sir, is the truth. Back yonder, I always had me plenty to eat and clothes to wear and a nice cabin to keep me warm. It sure ain't no good thing for a man to be hungry and without a job, no clothes, nowhere to stay. But boss, you asked me if I wants to go back to all of that, and I has to say no, sir. You see, boss, there's a certain looseness about this freedom that I likes. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't trade my relationship with Christ. It gives me a song in midnight. It gives me freedom. Listen, I'm telling you, your relationship with God makes you free. Paul and Silas were there in the prison, but they were free. That's why you can sing, because you're free. Someone said, why does the caged bird sing? Because inside he feels free. Well, at midnight, Paul and Silas had a song, and suddenly the Bible says there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison house were shaken. All the doors were open. Hallelujah. Everyone's chains were broken. At midnight, freedom came. Someone said, I wish I knew how it feels to be free. Once while cleaning our home, we had our windows open wide, and a little bird flew into the house. Once inside, the bird flew around having a good time. But oh, it's not a nice feeling to have a bird flying around free in your house. But then all of a sudden, it dawned on that little bird that he was trapped inside the house. He was flying around, whistling free. Then he realized he couldn't get out. It seemed to me as I watched him that the bird began to fly back and forth through the air, looking for some way out of the house into which he was trapped. I found myself trying to help him get out. And after a while, he flew up to the bedroom upstairs. He started flapping his wings so hard, he began to get tired. And I ran up the stairs. Linda must have thought I was crazy. Every time I reached down to pick up the little bird, he'd take off again in fear. And he was breathing. His heart was beating so heavy, so hard. Repeatedly, the bird would throw himself up against the window because he thought that's how he could get out. And then in utter exhaustion, the little bird gave up. He fell to the floor. He wasn't dead, but he was so tired, he was half dead. I walked over to where he was, I knelt down, and I reached out, I opened the window, that little bird flapped his wings and flew away. He was free. Now here's what I got to say. Somebody here is trapped. It's midnight for you. You don't know your way out. And I can tell you, when you've tried everything else, sometimes all you can do is cast yourself on the mercies of God. I remember how one day, completely exhausted, I gave up. I wanted to live my life my own way, but it was wearing me out. Sin will wear you out. At first, you think you're happy. Going to the clubs, think you're happy. Huh? Drinking and smoking, think you're happy. And then it begins to dawn on you. You're trapped. The Lord said, take your time this morning. You feel trapped. You see, freedom is not the right to do as you please. True freedom is when it pleases you to do what's right. You only feel free, really free, when you're doing what's right. And I remember I couldn't carry on that way anymore. And I got down on my knees. And God gave me a song. While they were singing and praying, the prison doors opened. I came upon this poem. Listen to it. O God of the impossible, when we no hope can see, grant us the faith that still believes that all is possible to thee. That stands upon thy word, thy name, and will not let thee go till thou thy mighty power hath shown love's blessings to bestow. I want you to know that God has promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, if you sing his song, he'll set you free. Paul and Silas were singing songs of praise, and because they knew God's promises of victory, they got victory over every adverse circumstance. They got victory over every reversal. For I know that afflictions work a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Out of tribulation, if you sing the song of God, out of tribulation will come patience and confidence and hope.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today and just about to the end of our program for today. We have a few more minutes, though, and before we end the program, I just want to let you know that you can obtain an audio copy of today's message. I hope you enjoyed the message. I hope you understood it. I think that there are a number of points that were brought out by Pastor Phipps in today's message that we all can put into our lives right now, this moment, right this minute. I know there are a number of things that I can put into my life after listening to this message, A Song at Midnight. Very encouraging. I'm going to keep singing. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office. You can call Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. I'm going to repeat that phone number again, just in case you need to make a copy of it. The phone number for the Seabrook Church, 301-577-6342. You'll want to reference for today's message, program number 272. That's program number 272. And when you're asked for that, you will be able to get access to the message for today, which was A Song at Midnight. I hope that you will join us again for another program. But just before I leave you, I just want to again, since we have time in today's program, express my appreciation to all of our listeners who have taken time to express support, encouragement, prayers. We are most appreciative of all of that support and even the financial contributions that we from time to time do get from our listeners. We are so thankful for all of that. It keeps us going, and it's good to know that there are listeners who enjoy and appreciate what we put together and produce here at The More Abundant Life. Well, that's all for today's message. I do hope that you will join us again for another program. Until then, though, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.